I am just getting myself a little bit organized here, so.
Well, good.
September 23rd.
So you hired Bill Cates, huh?
I hired Bill Cates. Actually, I was going to tell you when we get done with this call, I want to take some time and go to push it back till the end of the year for you and I, so I can get acclimated with him.
Sure.
And you know, I'm not giving up, you know, I'm not stopping with you because it's important to me. But Bill and I are working right now. I got a call with him next week, working on my value proposition, which out of everything that I've read so far of his books, I've read two of them. That's a key element for me that I don't think I'm good at, but he's going to make me good at it. And I was going through the papers and, you know, one of the questions that came up when I was working on the paperwork yesterday was, you know, what do you think you bring? What do you bring to the table for the client?
Yeah.
And my answer was I couldn't come up with anything. And then I don't know how good this is, but you know, I tend to be able to develop very good relationships with clients, you know, and I don't know how to expound upon that, you know, in speaking, you know, with Bill next week. So, but I'm going to keep working on it.
Well, don't be afraid to utilize what you've done with us. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got all my notes. Yeah.
I mean, think about what the difference is. I mean, what we bring in terms of a client experience, right?
Right.
When you think about this, think about it from the client's point of view. The things that Supernova focuses on is multi-generational planning.
Right.
Full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person.
Yeah.
And rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. That resonates well with the client. So what does that mean? You do planning, you communicate, and you have rapid response to issues.
Yeah.
So think about that when should be part of your declaration of value to the client, because, you know, what you think about yourself is not important compared to what you do for the client.
Right. And I saw that, and I get that, because this whole process with you for a year and a half now and working with Bill is not about me. It's about me ultimately, but it's about you know, situation. So here's an interesting story that happened a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't spoken to you. So I started playing golf on Thursday mornings. I don't know if I told you that.
You were going to go back and do that. That was good for business.
So I have one person that my first week said, I need to talk to you. I said, because you know my broker, and I just want to bring it back here. So I said, okay. You know, and then I followed up with him, you know, and he said, no, I'm going to do it. And then nothing happened. And then last week he walked up to me and he said, I just don't want you to think this is him coming to me. I don't want you to think I forgot about you. He said, but Robin and I are going to sit down with you because we want to see what's going on. I said, good. Whenever you're ready. Ironically, and this was a rude awakening for me, is that I've never really solicited in my golf course when I was the, you know, regional manager or the branch manager, I would always offer opinions. So about 4 weeks ago, I was out on a Thursday morning with a guy that I've been playing golf with for 15 years. And, you know, we started to have a conversation with a couple of guys, and they were asking what I thought about the market and, you know, tell them, give them my opinions, coming down, we got things to do. And finally, Lou said to me, says, are you handling client money? Just like that. So I said, yeah, that's what I've done. I've given up my senior manager position. I'm running my book. I said, I ultimately will be running about $200 million in assets. He said, well, you know, I'd love to give you some money. How big does my account have to be to bring it to you? So I said, well, preferably I'd like $500,000. So he said, oh, he said, will you take 400 right now? Because that's what I have at Fidelity. And he said, and then I'll give you more money. And I know his, I don't know it all. I just know that he's very, very well to do.
Yeah. And
has ultimately said to me, I'm going to bring you more. So we transferred it over from Fidelity, starting to work with it. But it was a rude awakening to have somebody say to me, do you handle client money?
Right.
So, and that's what it is. So the guy that runs the game on Thursday knows totally why I'm playing in the game. I'm kind of still being subtle a little bit, but it comes up in discussion every Thursday. And now people that I have as clients from the club are, as Bill says, not keeping me a secret.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, it's a nice transition that I'm enjoying. I appreciate you giving me the introduction to Bill. I'm big on audiobooks. So I listen for, good, you know, I may stick a novel in between, but sure, you know, I just listen to Radical Relevance. I've listened to all your books. And then I listen a second time and it sinks in. And I have the hard copy so I can make notes into the book. The young guy that was going to come work with me, I got put off till after the first of the year for legitimate reasons. He's got these two large accounts, that he's got to get more secure with before he brings them over, because it brings him up to about $100 million in assets.
Nice.
So, and he called me back to tell me, you know, so it's not like he's, you know, blowing me off and not taking my calls. And I'm going to give him a call probably later today to see how his son is doing up at Syracuse, because he had a self-quarantine for 14 days when he first got there. And, you know, colleges, needless to say, are creating havoc in this country. So, I got a lot of good things. My calls off the calendar. I had a good one yesterday, and the guy transitioned from a regular account to a fee-based account, and we did some little business. And what I think I'm going to do is, we have a young woman in the office who's working for Jeff in my office, and I said, would you mind if I utilized Catherine to do some, you know, some basic financial plans for me? And he said, no, I just want to keep her busy. And I said, okay, so I'm going to start with these newer accounts and just have her get the information from them. And then we have this afternoon at 12, we have a call, just a refresher course on the, what we call the Retirement Investment Evaluator, which is another financial planning tool. Right. So I'm trying to incorporate everything in as I get closer to the absorption of the other two books, you know, that, you know, so, because I, so one of the guy, Bob, who, you know, he and I've been, you know, I've been with both of them for 15 years. Bob is actively working and introducing, you know, or introducing my name to them. I've been on the statements, but he's telling people he's retiring, and, you know, and so that's starting. Stu is not quite as, you know, active, because I, you know, for reasons that I understand, but, you know, they're both gone, you know, both gone at the end of the year. And I'm gearing up to what I need to do with the new people and tell them how I want to handle it.
So make sure that you are, once he tells them they're retiring, that he's retiring, you need to be all over them. All right. Don't hesitate, because they're going to be making a decision. Do I want to go with you, or do I want to go with Brand X, this other guy? Yeah. So once he tells them, then you need to be part of every of those calls.
And he wants me to do that. We're also going to send a confirming letter out that the firm wants me to send out at the same time.
Sure.
So he's probably got a list of 20 people that he's now spoken to, that we will get that out this week.
All right. But you see what I'm saying is, once, because then
he wants to have three-way conversations.
Yeah, you should be putting them right on your 1242 and talking to them and teaching them what you do and why you do it. And this is, you know, I'm going to be calling you every month. You know, four times a year, we're going to do analysis of your retirement, you know, of your financial plan, and twice a year we're going to get in person if in fact we ever get in person again.
Right. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
But that's the point, is that you want to teach them that you're their financial advisor now.
Right.
Okay. And mm-hmm. that you're really working for them. Even if he's still calling them, it's right. okay.
Yeah.
You want to get your 1242 in there.
Okay. I just marked that down. So we'll get that done starting this week.
Right.
That's not a problem. Yeah. No, I mean, but things are slowly falling into place. You know,
what did you do in terms of Bill Cates? What did you sign up for? What is that?
I signed up for, well, I'll tell you one second. I signed up for a full year of consultation. I think it's a 2-year program. Let me make sure. One second. 1-year membership into the Cates Academy, relationship marketing, 2 additional hours of customized one-on-one coaching, 4 hours total. It was $1,500.
Well, that's not bad. So it's 4 hours of coaching?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought he was going to do. Because I really wanted him, look, think about this with me for a minute, okay? Yeah. I coach for a year-long program, and then I hope, you know, that you sign up and everybody signs up for another year of once a month, right? That's right. The idea. But what happens is, for example, with Bill Cates's, you know, we've got 7 strategies for growth. Use of centers of influence, niche marketing, niche mastermind groups, Bill Cates's referral model. I use that, right? But I spend like a half an hour on Bill Cates's model.
Right.
And so I don't have time to teach you and practice with you.
Right.
On exactly how that works, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So my thinking is this. I want to hire specialists that I plug in for guys that like, so now if you want to hire me to do 4 more hours of training on something, I can do that. But the idea is that I don't always have time. If I'm booked, I can't do
that. Right. Sure.
So I hire, basically I tell you to hire Bill Cates. Because you are good at this. And I told you that. You're good at asking. You have no hesitation in asking for referrals. You just need to have the right words. And I want you to become, I want you to learn this like you learn Macbeth. Okay?
Right.
Now, if you don't want to do the perfect Macbeth, that's up to you. But I want you to know all the words. So that's the most important thing I want you to get out of this, by the way. So make sure that you're not doing something else with him. I want you to memorize the words that you're supposed to use when you're asking for particularly the brainstorming session. Okay? Tell him, I want to memorize the words for the brainstorming session.
Got it.
Right? That's mm-hmm. If you don't get that out of this, then you, I will not have accomplished what I want you to get out of this. Now, I use another model, and I'm sharing this with you because you have a good mind.
Right. What's left of it?
Yeah. So in the segment piece, in the segmentation piece, when we start, touched on as specialized in going in and doing a book review and helping somebody to clean out their book and figure out what's in there. I don't have time to do that, right?
Right.
But Touchstone will come along and they've got a program, they call it PAR, to do that. So I've collaborated with them and said, look, in the beginning, Touchstone's going to get in touch with you and they're going to go through this PAR program.
Right.
So I plug them in.
Okay.
So there's, so then I, now I, now I think I'm going to plug in Bill Cage. This.
Just give that one. That's going to go away. 1 second.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I've never learned how to turn that ringer down.
Yeah. So then I've got MFS got in touch with me, and they want to do business with me, but I couldn't figure out how. And then I remembered that they bought out Larry Biederman's business, which was Smart Marketing, which is focused on the advice model. Now,
right.
I use the advice model. I use the advice model consistently in my marketing, right? It's how I help guys to close, asking for clients' advice. So I'm thinking I'm going to use them to plug in another place. Do you think that's too confusing for you as the client?
I think that. Well, you're right. I like to absorb the information. I still like to get it, you know, audio rather. I'm not as good reading and absorbing as I am listening and absorbing.
Sure.
Because what I did with you was I read a couple of the books, and then I had questions about what I've read in certain aspects. I did that with Bill. You know, I read the first book. I can't remember the name of it. You know, and then I got Radical Relevance, and then I have Don't Keep Me a Secret, which he thought was probably one of his worst books. Or you didn't like the title or whatever it was. I like soak that stuff up.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. What happens is sometimes I'm amazed at what I remember, you know, and not that I can't remember, but what jumps out at me from a memory standpoint. I think the best example is when I said, don't keep me a secret. And I joked about it. But that's an easy line to have flowing.
Right.
Off your lips, you know.
And what you're gonna find is you're gonna start using my words,
yeah,
and his words, and you're gonna think they're your words, and you're gonna say, I don't know where I learned this, but this, you know, I'm using this phrase, and it's mine. I own it, and that's the greatest thing in the world when it becomes yours.
Right.
So from a it. You see, what I'm creating is centers of influence.
Yeah.
Right? A network of,
yes,
of specialists, like my kind of your enthusiastically endorsed list.
Right, absolutely.
And that can come in and work on something that I don't have time to work on. Right?
But it's interesting. Let me just, I got phones ringing all over the place. It's funny. So I have, I'm doing something for one of my older clients and making some adjustments in her dollars. And she wants me to speak to her daughter about it, who I've known for years and years. The client was at my wedding,
right,
you know, and unfortunately or fortunately, she's 94 years old and I got to make sure she doesn't run out of money. So,
yeah,
which is a big problem, you know, because she's been fine and everything's been good. But I spoke to the daughter, you know, and everything was fine. She goes, look, we trust you. I'm also moving down to Florida, you know, so I need it. It became my enthusiastically endorsed. She needs doctors. You know, I'm compiling a folder of doctors for her to go to see. She told me what she needs. You know, between the dentist, the endocrinologist, and the cardiologist, you know, I have a folder that I'm just putting together for her. And when she comes down next week, I said, I'll meet you and your mother for lunch and I'll bring the folder with me. And she told me that once they sell the house, that money's coming here. So, you know, it's becoming easier. you know, from that conversation. And I don't even think about it in terms of enthusiastically endorsed. It's just, that's what I do.
Right. See, I didn't learn the enthusiastically endorsed list out of thin air. It came from guys like you.
Yeah.
You're unconsciously competent in a strategy, right?
I'm not sure my wife would agree with you.
No, you just do it. You say, I don't call it the enthusiastically endorsed list, but I have this list of people that I've worked with over the years that I believe in and trust, and they're my guys, right?
Right.
Well, that's your enthusiastically endorsed list. So the key for me is to brand it, right?
Yeah.
Take what you do, brand it, so it sounds cool. And then you market it to back to you, right?
Right.
I take it from you, I brand it and market it back to you. So you become consciously competent.
Right.
So now you're not just thinking of cardiologists, but you're thinking of, you know, she's going to need a landscaper. Is she going to buy a house? She needs a realtor. She needs a decorator. She needs, she needs everything. And I got the list for her for everything. And what it will do by you actually writing out the list and keeping one master list, it will serve for everybody. So they only need doctors this time, but just say, I don't want to overwhelm you, but I've got a list of everybody.
No, it was an easy conversation, and it's, you know, and it's funny. So, getting back to the other guy with the money and an interesting business, how he made his money. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that, I ate my oatmeal before I started. But you know, when I said to him, well, this is how I want, he gives me one of these, do what you want. I said, Lou, that's not how I work.
No.
I appreciate that, but I don't do what I want.
No.
I said, you will know about everything that I recommend to do.
That's the worst thing that can ever be said.
Yeah.
So then wait a minute. I gave him discretion and he screwed it up.
Right. Oh, absolutely. There's no way. And you know, in this Reg BI world, I make notes of every conversation. So, you know, it's like the, you know, my calendar call yesterday for the fellow that I spoke to, because I missed one in between, but we got into a long discussion. We talked about the pandemic on Long Island, how he's dealing with it, et cetera, et cetera. And the one thing that came out of it, which I will hopefully get that at some point in time, is that he said he was haphazardly a TD Ameritrade or whatever, and some of his friends convinced him they should talk to this particular guy. And I, you know, I'm sitting there going, I deal with your mother's money and you sent it all down to me and you let me take care of it. Ultimately, you're going to have to give me your money. I mean, it's as simple as that. But we got into, but the discussion and the notes got into what's going on in Long Island. It got into a conversation about his mother who was fighting dementia. Smartly enough, he was made the trustee before this went bad. They sold the house down here and the money came into the account here.
Good.
And we made some investments. And, you know, that's the conversation. So, you know, I haven't spoken with his sister yet. John has, but I will speak to his sister who's down here taking care of mom. But we have conversations because I went through with my wife's my mother-in-law, you know, in terms of Alzheimer's gone, you know, how we dealt with it. So we compare notes and then ultimately end up with a conversation about the New York Yankees, which you may not like, but that's beside the point.
Of course I like the Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan, but
I understand.
No, I don't have, I have greatest respect for the Yankees. Babe Ruth, you know, I mean, you gotta love the Yankees. I gave my, it killed me, but I had this signed picture all authenticated that I bought at an auction of Mickey Mantle. You know, it was fabulous.
Yeah.
Three of the best, right?
Yeah.
And I gave it to my neighbor for having taken care of us over the years when I moved.
Right.
And I miss it.
It's funny that I can lend you mine, because what happened is when I first, this particular fellow first moved to Addison where I live, he, you know, he knew I was a Yankee fan and he grew up in Brooklyn, but he moved to Philadelphia a long time ago, and he's a Phillies fan. He said, I have something I want to give you. It's not autographed, but it's a picture of Mickey, Roger, and Yogi, you know, and, you know, it's hanging. I would turn my computer around, but it's hanging up on my wall, not autographed, but it's, he said, I know you would appreciate this a lot
more. Yeah, you love that, right?
Yeah. And I just said, that's fine for me. You know, people walk into the office and they know that I'm a Yankee fan. So, but you know, other than that, everything else is starting to fall into place. It took me, I compare this to after my back surgery last year, when I worked with the nutritionist and it finally clicked into place. And that from January to now, I'm down about 34 pounds.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And now my conversations with my clients, and I've got to become more effective at it, are starting to fall into place in terms of, you know, and somebody said to me, well, if you can take over these two books, why are you worried about referrals, you know, and adding to your book? And I said, I looked at him with a straight face and I said, because people die. It's simple as that. I had a client pass away unexpectedly, you know, and so far the kids have the money with me, you know, in separate accounts that they inherited.
Sure.
One of them wanted to liquidate her portfolio the other day. And I said, you know, look, you can do what you want, but let's just take off, leave $50,000 in cash and leave the rest of it in the market. So, because she's talking to, experts.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah.
I said, are you listening to the TV experts? She says, no, I'm talking to people that I think are experts. I said, okay. Well, you're talking to one right now that's been in this business for 40 years. I didn't call her and say, I'm an expert at what I do, because I never take that line. But it is amazing what's out there.
Oh, so, there's a book that can help a person like that. It's called The Philosophy of Money. And it's by a guy named Herman Hausel. Housel. And it's brand new and it's good. It's good. It's not perfect, but it's good. And it has a lot of, it basically says, teaches people that don't know anything about money.
Yeah.
How you build wealth, not get rich.
Yeah.
The idea is you build wealth over time by compounding.
Right.
And it's time, not allocation is, asset allocation is the number one best way to improve or ruin your performance.
Right.
It isn't stock selection, it's asset allocation. But even before that is the time value of money. Time.
Right.
Time is the key.
Well, I always call time, not timing. So,
time, not timing. Right.
But an interesting part of this conversation, and you know, her father was my client for 40 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when this the market was down 900 points the other day is when I got the call from her.
Of course.
I said, you got to just leave it alone. She said, well, I remember my father used to call me, you know, and he would tell me he lost money today, you know, and I know why he did it, because he was supporting her and her sister, you know, and he just didn't feel like giving it up that day, because for 40 years, we did what we had to do to build it up, so that unfortunately, when he passed away, fortunately for the kids, you know, there was $1 million+.
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't get that. She wouldn't understand that. She didn't understand why he was saying that to her. I said, all I can tell you, Lori, is that your father and I worked together for a long time to accumulate what's here. We lived through many downturns in the market and we never liquidated. We never sold out. We never did anything to change that strategy in terms of what we do. We may have changed a manager.
Right.
You know, and that's how it worked. So I convinced her to leave, you know, $350,000 into, and I have it with a money manager. You know, I have it with BlackRock. It's in, you know, a 60-40 portfolio.
Yep.
And, you know, I said, call me whenever you want. She said, well, I may call you often. I didn't get the call yesterday when the market rallied at the, you know, during the
day. Right. You never do. Well, he talks about that bad news travels at the speed of light and good news takes years to travel.
Yeah. I'm going to order the book and then I may order a couple of copies if that's the case.
Yeah, it's really good for young people that don't understand the value of money and how you actually make money in the stock market.
Yeah.
I found it helpful. He talks about happiness being equal to control, and I kind of disagree with him. I think money gives you control, and control gives you peace of mind.
Right.
It's the absence of fear. It's not really happiness.
Right.
But peace of mind is on the way to happiness. And you know, you and I both know, happiness comes from giving.
Right.
Happiness is the joy of helping and,
yeah,
and coaching and birthing children. And it never comes from getting. It always,
yeah,
comes from, you know, the shit we buy, the things we have, they're fun, but they aren't joy. They,
right,
aren't happiness, right? Happiness is comes from the people we are able to help and the mark we leave on the world, which is not one of gathering money. It's helping, being of value to people and to, you know, have been important, you know, or at least done something during our life to make life better for other people.
Well, you know, and you and I discussed at length that that's what makes me happy. Ironic anecdote. So the other day, somebody knocks on the door at the office. We're still not letting anybody in. And he claims that somebody who's involved with this particular charity has an account up in Washington, D.C. And I go out and I talk to him, and it's a children's charity based in Delray Beach. And he goes on and gives me the whole explanation. And the only reason I listened is because he got me when he said it was a children's charity, because that's what I do down here.
Right.
So when I saw the name, I then called the manager of the Washington, D.C. office. And I said, "Ann, do you know this charity?" She said, "Oh, absolutely. Teddy is one of my husband's best friends, and he moved to Florida after he retired. So I'm going to go meet with him to see how I can conceivably get involved with his charity." And, I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. What they do is, it's a teaching organization for, I guess, underprivileged kids. And
sounds good to me.
Yeah, doesn't hurt. Never hurts. I'll give the guy a call.
My big worry in this whole world of that, you know, this anarchy and chaos and all this stuff is that we're losing the war of capitalism.
Yeah. Yep.
And that people are equating freedom with socialism and happiness with socialism and capitalism equating to evil. And everybody, every media, everything is all, you know, it just, capitalism is such an easy target for everybody that if anything we can all do, you, me, everybody in our industry, is teach the value of capitalism.
Yeah.
And not put it, I talked to a gal the other day and she said, you know, among my friends, capitalism is like a four-letter word.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God, we're going to lose this war. We're going to lose.
Yeah.
If we don't get out there and sacrifice in order to teach people that we've got the greatest system in the world, democracy and capitalism is the light on the hill, not the evil empire.
Right.
Anyway, so teaching underprivileged children, make sure they have a lesson on capitalism and history.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Just before I got on the call with you, I was talking to my daughter, who she said, "I just came back from buying a new laptop." And my daughter and son-in-law, God bless them, they do really well, you know. But my son-in-law has been working from home since the pandemic started, and he's got their in-house laptop there at the house, and he's got his laptop from work. She said, "And I've got, you know, things that I have to do, but I can't have access. I don't have access to the computer." So the conversation went something like this. She says, "So I'm on my way back. I just bought a new laptop." I said, "What'd you buy?" "I bought a Lenovo." So she said, "Nothing special. I paid $479, you know, not like I needed to spend the $479. I said, "In the scheme of things of everything you do, that's not a lot of money for you to do what you want to do." She said, "Well, you know, I had a plan. And my plan was that once Joey, my granddaughter, started kindergarten, I was going to go out and get a job because I can't. She says, I, with all due respect, and I love her, I don't know how mom stays home. And I don't know how she stayed home raising us for all those years and got into it. I said, that's just mom. You know, what do you want me to tell you? She said, so, you know, but now with everything going on and the kids are back physically in school in, you know, Westchester County in New York, she said, I think I got to be around just in case something happens at the school. So I said, but you can find something, you know, from a part-time standpoint. She said, well, you know, I've got to work on a newsletter for the PTA from, you know, from the temple and what have you. I said, so just get your fingertips. Now that you got this computer, get back into it. I said, you probably can go do some part-time work for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is they wanted you to do that before because that's where she worked. You know, and she passed a comment. She says, you know, is my reaction because I'm upset that I can't contribute? Is that white privilege? Is it? This is how she's thinking. You know, it says, I said, no, you're fortunate. And all you want to do is do the right thing for, you know, the world. You're fortunate that you live the way you do. You're fortunate that your husband makes a lot of money. You're fortunate that you were able to raise your kids for, you know, Tyler's first 7 years. And now you can do whatever you want to do and you'll get a job and you'll be fine. But don't start becoming depressed just because it's pandemic.
Right.
I said, you need to work your way through it and you will. I know her. She's a, she's a go-getter. It's not even that issue, but,
right.
No, I get where she's coming from. This is somebody who a year and a half ago was ending treatment for cancer. So, she's a nonstop person. You know, she's going to be 37 years old. And between, you know, as a household income at 37, he's going to be 39. They got $1.5 million in the bank.
Great.
More actually. You got almost 2 million. So
have her form an LLC and start a consulting firm.
Yeah.
And then she can do anything she wants.
Right.
Okay. That's she interesting. Can consult for her former company. She can go consult into anything, but it gives them tax benefit and a liability benefit, and it just gives her kind of structure, and that'll make her feel good. She's president of her own consulting company.
Right. That's a good idea. I'll go back to her and tell her that. So.
Yeah, my son just formed, we just bought a bed and breakfast. He's a carpenter, and he can do everything. He can build a house. So what's a good business for him? Airbnbs. So we bought a house. It's already set up to be an Airbnb. He just goes in and fixes a few things, and that's a great business for him.
Right.
So I'm lending him the money for that. He's in business now. He formed an LLC. And, heck, that's what we can do for our kids, okay?
Yeah.
We can do those things. We don't have to buy a business for them. We can just lend them the money.
Right.
Get in business. And then they understand, hey, here's the cost of money, okay? You pay the cost of money. You get your revenues minus the cost of money, minus the expenses, and that's your profit. I hope you make some.
And we did that with my older daughter and my son-in-law when they were looking to buy a new house, which was the right thing for them to do to avoid them losing it because of a contingency. You know, his mother and Linda and I lent them the money, you know, for a short period of time, but it enabled them to do that. And they actively worked to get the other house sold in a short period of time, which was great. And then they paid us all back.
Right.
So you're right. Do what you can to help your kids.
Yeah, you can use, you know, you use your securitized loans at a really fair rate based on your securities. You don't even have to sell anything. So, I mean, that's a good thing for you to market to your clients.
Right.
Use that as one of your initiatives. You know, in the next couple of months, one of your 24-month calendar ideas is reviewing the liability side of the balance sheet. And what can we do to pass on our values to our children? What can we do to leverage the fact that we've done well without giving them the money? And that's basically become a mortgage company for our kids. And then they don't have to pay all the fees and all the, you know, all that crap. They don't have to put anything down. We lend them the money. They pay us back over time, and it works great. Anyway, just a good idea that I think makes a lot of sense. And wealthy people don't know what to do with their money. They're afraid to give it to their kids. They're afraid, you know, da, 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 da. So this is a great way to do it. Okay, my friend.
All right. We're scheduled for October, I think. But well, let's plan on October, and then we'll just take November, December off and go back in January.
Roger. Sounds good.
All right.
Awesome.
All right, Rob.
Michael, thank you, buddy.
Thank you for your time.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.